May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
It's lovely to have been invited to preach this morning. I haven't preached here since I was training, and that was over 14 years ago. And the lovely thing about coming here is I know you've got loads of preachers, so I know I'm not here because you're desperate. So thank you, Charlie. Voice recognition software has really improved since I first tried to use it. I had a program on the PC, well, that would be about 14 years ago too, and it was a real pain. You had to teach it to understand your voice. And I don't think I've much of an accent. You probably can't tell that I come from Birmingham. And my enunciation is fairly clear. But I gave up trying to teach this wretched program to understand my voice. And I touch type, so I'm pretty speedy, so it wasn't a problem. But things have moved on. I hadn't bothered to try and use Siri, the Apple's voice recognition software, on my phone because of my past experience, until Hannah said I really should try again. I did, and it's brilliant. I only use it for fairly straightforward questions so far. Indeed, sometimes you get some very strange responses from Siri. It's very good for things like, how many calories are there in courgettes? I did need to know that because I'm on a diet. A very successful one, I'm pleased. You can't tell with robes. Siri accurately displays the question, well, if it's heard you right, and usually it does, and then usually comes up with the answer I'm looking for. But for all the work that Apple have put into Siri to make it sound like a person, a male person, Siri is not a person. It's just some software that can transcribe and respond to the words you say, giving you a stock response before listing, not speaking, the results of its search. You can't have a dialogue with Siri, much less a relationship. But real between humans voice recognition is significant. It's important. In a crowded room, it's lovely when you just distinguish the voice of somebody who's important to you. And you can tell they're there before you see them. And I'm very good at recognising people's voices over the telephone. And a lot of people are surprised, and you can tell kind of pleased too, that you address them by name, just from the sound of their voice. Recognition, and especially voice recognition, is at the heart of Jesus' words in that reading we heard from John's Gospel. But why is Jesus talking about recognition and voice recognition, sheep and shepherds? The reason is in the chapter before. I'll give you a quick resume because I wouldn't have remembered, so I'm not expecting you to. He's just had a run-in with the Pharisees, nothing new there. But it's about his healing of a man who was born blind. The Pharisees hear of what's happened, quiz the man and his family fairly thoroughly, demanding that the miracle should not be attributed to Jesus. And they eventually drive the man out. We're not told from where they drive him out, but I suspect it's the synagogue. Jesus heard what had happened and speaks to the man and says to him, among other things, I am the Son of Man. He reveals to the man who he is. The man believes, recognizing that Jesus is the person he says he is. And Jesus is suggesting that the Pharisees are blind in their own way, in that they are unable, or probably more likely unwilling, to see the truth about this man's healing, and so see the truth and recognize Jesus for who he is. They did not recognize Jesus, and they rejected the man who'd experienced the reality of Jesus' healing power. Not surprising, then, that the emphasis in this reading is on recognizing the true shepherd and distinguishing him from thieves and bandits. While Jesus speaks of the contrast between the true shepherd and the thieves and robbers, the real emphasis is on the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. And if you read the notes I've written, we are the sheep. Jesus' first picture is of sheep in a sheepfold. Jesus is the true shepherd who comes to the entrance to call his sheep. He has a relationship with the sheep, whereas the thieves and bandits have to sneak in over the wall when they come to steal sheep. The sheep don't go with them because they have to. They've no choice. They go with the shepherd because they choose to. They don't know who the thieves are, but they do know and have a relationship with the shepherd. How do we know? Well, they know his voice. They recognize his voice. And you can deduce from that he must speak to them often. Well, of course he does. Every day he comes and calls them out of the sheepfold. They don't know the voice of thieves. The man who'd been born blind couldn't make sense of what the Pharisees were saying. It didn't match with his experience. He knew that he was now able to see because Jesus had healed him. He didn't know the God bit. Yeah, of course it was God. But he knew that he was related to Jesus. He recognized Jesus' voice. He recognized the truth of what he was saying and believed and worshipped. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. The shepherd gives each of the sheep a name and uses it. No dogs and whistles here. He calls them by name. They're individuals, not simply a flock. You are individuals, not simply a congregation. The shepherd knows you by name. And once the sheep have recognized and responded to the shepherd's call, the shepherd is able to lead them. It's a kind of come and then leading. And the shepherd can be firm with the sheep when needed. It says he's brought out all his own. Actually, the words may be a bit different in your version, but never mind. But the Greek word for brought means to compel one to depart in stern, though not violent, language. To lead one forth or away somewhere with a force which one cannot resist. It's actually the same word used of the Pharisees driving out the man who'd been healed of his blindness. The shepherd knows the individual personalities of the sheep. He knows those who need a bit of extra chivying along, who don't want to leave the security of the fold. Have you ever experienced that force which you cannot resist? God moving you on to new experiences which weren't quite what you yourself had in mind. God expelling you from your comfort zone. If you haven't, stand by, he does it. But once we've been expelled from our comfort zone, of course, the shepherd leads us. We're not stranded. He goes ahead to prepare the way, to identify the pitfalls in order to help us avoid them. He spots the obstacles in our path before we reach them, in order to help us find the way around them. We got two mixed metaphors in this passage. Jesus then uses the picture of sheep and sheepfold to speak of his relationship with his followers in a different way. He's not the shepherd this time. This time Jesus says, "I am the gate for the sheep." It's through Jesus that the sheep come into the sheepfold and indeed go out of the sheepfold. It's parallel with his saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." We're the sheep, and it's through coming to Jesus, through Jesus, that we find our home in his sheepfold. And that gives us the freedom to come and go and find pasture. Not escape from him, but to come and go into the in and out of the security of the sheepfold. And Jesus makes a final contrast with the thieves. They come to steal and kill, but Jesus came that they, that is the sheep, may have life and have it abundantly. The words actually mean exceedingly abundant or superabundant. It speaks of the quality of life. It implies richness of life, vitality of life, exuberant life in the context of an intimate and secure relationship with the shepherd. It's as if Jesus wants to lead us into new and exciting pastures, into experiences that will stretch us, challenge us, and enrich us. Because we're so much more than sheep who just follow the shepherd with the familiar voice. Jesus doesn't want us to be constrained, but to be free, to live fulfilling lives. Our experiences won't necessarily all be good ones, but they can all be enriching ones. Indeed, if we don't experience pain and loss, we can't experience the difference of joy and fulfillment. And indeed, the dark times can be those when we draw closest to Jesus, the shepherd, and get to know him more intimately. So let's not hang back in the security of the fold. It isn't such a safe place anyway. Think of the robbers and the thieves. But let's grow in familiarity with Jesus, our shepherd. The notes I've written kind of expand on this a bit more. Really get to know him. Become familiar with his voice by spending time with him, listening out for the shepherd calling our name, giving us a shove in the right direction if need be, and then following him wherever he may lead us, so that we will experience life in all its fullness and richness. Amen.
Amen.